Luke chapter number 18. Thank you for turning there this morning. And it's easy for us to forget who we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord knows that, and He wants to encourage us about His presence in our lives and our faith in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Let's read verses 1 to 8, and then we'll commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Luke chapter number 18, beginning in verse 1. "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to," what's the next word?
Faint.
Verse 2, saying, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. Verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find," what's the next word?
Faith.
"Shall he find faith on the earth?" Men ought always to pray and not to faint. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let's find out more about this wonderful parable. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your truth. Lord, as we read the parables of Christ, thank You, Lord, that we can be encouraged that these things were hidden from them who would not have ears to hear, eyes to see. Help us, dear Lord, as Your children, to open our hearts and our eyes. Open our ears, Lord, to Your divine word. Thank You, Lord, that the parables of Christ have been revealed to us, and that the Holy Spirit of God, He is our teacher this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would lead us into truth that would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us in this area of our faith. Help us, Lord, to learn more about You this morning that would encourage our hearts to rely on You and to trust in Thee and to live by faith. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, I don't usually read poems in a message, but I came across one about faith that I'd like to read out this morning, and it goes like this. "When faith came singing into my life, then other guests took flight. Fear, anxiety, grief, and depression sped out into the night. I wondered how such peace could be, but faith said gently, Don't you see, they really cannot live with me." And as we've been learning this year, when faith is present in our life, there is an absence of fear. There is an absence of doubt. There is an absence of anxiety. When faith is present in our life, fear and doubt fly away. That's why God is encouraging us this year, the just shall live by faith. In fact, that is the only way that you and I can live. In our first message on this subject of faith, do you remember we were encouraged to look at faith like a bottle of oxygen? You and I are climbing a mountain, and without our necessary oxygen, you and I cannot breathe. And faith is the very air in which we breathe as Christians. Faith is the breath of fresh air. I hope you're thankful this morning for the fans in our hall today. And that's a wonderful blessing. The school has installed them. We can enjoy them. And on Wednesday night, Brother Huey and I were doing some mathematical calculations. And the best place for the best reason in the hall this morning is right on the front row. Amen? Now, if you're taking notes, that's a joke.
You can write down joke. And when it comes to our faith, faith is the air that we breathe. We cannot live without a life of faith. And oftentimes in the parables of Christ, Christ focuses on this subject of faith. Those of you who have been present on Wednesday nights through this series, we would have touched upon this parable, but we're going to go deeper this morning and learn about our faith. Learn about what the Lord wants us and how He desires us to live. Now, many of the parables you need to read through, and even after some of them, the Lord has to explain them to His disciples. But with this parable, notice the Lord tells us the lesson right up front, doesn't He? Verse number 1 in chapter 18, And he spake a parable unto them to this end, for what purpose was this parable taught, that men ought always to what?
Pray.
To pray and not to faint. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever fainted physically before? Now, if you have, you would know what the Lord is talking about here. You know, when you faint physically, your body falls under the weight of itself. You have no more energy left and you collapse to the ground. And some of you, if you've been near fainting, you would remember, like me, maybe you were exercising, maybe you were running, maybe you pushed yourself harder than you should have, maybe you didn't drink enough water and suddenly your eyes started to darken and you thought, you know, you're about to lose your sight. You start to see stars in front of you and you realize, whoa, I better sit down. Or maybe I'm not as fit as I thought I was. Maybe young people, you experience that in the heat of summer in Cairns when at school they ask you to do some running or some athletics. But if you've ever come near to fainting, or if you ever fainted before, you would understand what the Lord is speaking about here. You see, in the Christian life, it is possible to faint spiritually. It is possible to get to the point where you and I don't want to go on any longer. In Hebrews chapter 12, notice there with me, the adults were here this morning in Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look once again for the sake of those who weren't with us in our Sunday school class. Notice what Hebrews chapter 12 says for a moment. Thank you for turning there. Hebrews chapter 12. Notice at the end of verse 1, the Bible says, "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So our Christian life, our life of faith, is described as what kind of sport? A race. A running race. Spiritually, we are running a race, are we not? And we are to look unto Jesus in verse 2. Verse 3 says, "For consider Him." We need to study the Lord. We need to get to know the Lord. We need to grow in our relationship with the Lord. "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be what? Wearied," and what's the next word? "Faint in your minds." So you see, God warns us that as Christians, it's possible to drop out of the race. It is possible to get so discouraged that we don't want to go on anymore. It's possible to faint. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, "Pastor, I'm already there. I'm already discouraged. To be honest, I just want to go home to glory, and I'm facing so many trials and difficulties in my life, I feel like quitting." Now, if you've never been there before, buckle your seatbelts and put them on, because that time will come. Discouragement comes in the Christian life. But the question is, what are we going to do when discouragement comes? When temptation comes? When trials come? And we feel like collapsing? We feel like giving up. And by the way, physically, that's not where the fainting takes place in our life. First of all, it takes place where? In our minds. "Lest you be weary and faint in our minds." You see, the Lord knows the battle of faith is in our minds, in our hearts. And He wants to encourage us this morning. You see, God's will is not for you and I to faint, to quit, to give up. God's will is for us to get up and run well. And He wants us to finish our course with faith. And He wants us to take greater strides of faith. And in Luke chapter 18, if you'll turn with me back there, God teaches us about the cure for fainting. And that's the title of this morning's message: the cure for fainting. And we get so discouraged, and we don't know where to turn or what to do,
And we are just about to quit. What does the Lord tell us the cure is? Well, this parable, as we begin, remember, is a parable of contrasts. And God gives us the first contrast in verse number 1, doesn't he? Men ought always to what? Pray and not to faint. Well, we understand what fainting is. Collapsing, giving up, having no energy left whatsoever, completely hopeless and helpless. What's the opposite to fainting? Having strength, having energy, being able to press forward. Well, in the spiritual life, if you and I are to live by faith, if you and I are to press forward beyond the discouragements and trials, what does the Bible say? Men ought always to, say it with me, pray. Pray. Now, I hope you're not offended this morning, but we all need encouragement in this area of our faith called prayer. Prayer. What is prayer? My friends, it's not mysterious. It's not unknown. It's not untangible, something we cannot understand. Friends, prayer is our faith in action. Wouldn't you agree? Prayer is our faith in action. Prayer is you and I depending and relying on the grace of God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is asking. Prayer is trusting in the Lord. And so there is our first contrast this morning, prayer and fainting. You see, if we pray, the Bible says we won't faint. But if we are fainting, that's telling us that we are not praying. You see, when our lives are filled with prayer, a dependence upon God, living by faith, we can run the race. But if we are not praying, if we are put off prayer, if we are no longer depending upon the Lord the same way we were first saved, then we will grow weary. We will faint in our minds. And the Lord knows that. He knew that about his disciples. And there were times in their lives that they fainted, did they not? They became discouraged. And the Lord knows your heart and mind. What is the cure to fainting? A life of faith. Including prayer. Prayer. You see, the danger is when you and I come to a point of discouragement or when we feel weary, we feel that we can't go on, we want to give up. What do you and I often do in our flesh? We convince ourselves, well, I just need to try harder. Does that sound familiar? Well, I'm just going to try harder this year. I didn't have such a good year this year. I'm going to put in more effort. And my friends, oftentimes that's just our foolish, selfish pride and self-assurance. Christ doesn't call us to put in more effort. He calls us to live by faith. He calls us to rely on Him more, to trust in Him more, to get to know Him more. That includes prayer. Prayer is relying on the Lord. Prayer is tying ourselves to Jesus Christ and allowing Him to lift us up and to carry us. Brethren, we are to live by faith, not by sight, not by self-strength. What does Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tell us? Without looking back there, Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Do you realize that at that point where you personally received Jesus Christ as your Savior, Christ was the author of your faith? Brethren, you and I didn't do anything to be saved. Christ drew us to Himself. We had to respond to His invitation, but we didn't save ourselves. In fact, He created faith in us. He created faith in us. He is the author of our faith, wouldn't you agree? He authored our faith. He created faith in us, and He is also the finisher of our faith. He starts our faith. He will be at the finish line, and He is with us all the way through our life of faith. And so, God calls us to not only be saved, but then we are to live by faith. How? The same way we were saved. Amen? Relying on the Lord. Putting all our confidence and trust in Him to do the work that only He can do. Now, let me ask you this morning, how is your life of faith going? You might say, well, it's not too bad. You know, I believe I'm living by faith. I believe my faith has grown. Well, here's a question. How is your prayer life going? You see, prayer is a life of faith. And if prayer is absent,
Well, we need to re-examine our faith life, do we not? Because Christ tells us very clearly here that prayer is a life of faith. Prayer is the opposite to fainting. And Christ wants us to pray, to rely on Him. And when we get saved, we are now to live by faith. That means depending upon God. Philippians chapter 6, verses 6 to 7 says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious and fearful and worry about the things of life, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the supernatural, miraculous peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your... Where do we faint? In our minds. Shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer. Prayer is the opposite to fainting. If we don't pray, we will faint. If we are fainting, we need to get back to the Lord. Amen? In prayer. And that's the build-up, the introduction to the parable that Christ introduces to us. And by the way, our life is a life of faith. That's why the Lord says here in verse number 1, look there with me once again, men ought always to pray. Always to pray. We are always to be in a readiness to pray. That doesn't mean with every breath we're praying in some mysterious way, but you and I are to be Christians who live by faith, so that at any moment we are ready to pray. We are ready to call out to the Lord. We are ready to depend on Him and not ourselves. So often we live by sight, we live by self, but Christ wants us to rely on Him by faith, to call upon Him in a time of need and not resort to our own strength. You see, God wants us to live by faith. And He says, pray without ceasing. That's the same truth. Men ought always to pray, to be in a spirit of prayer, a readiness of prayer. And would you agree this morning, and you can say yes or no, would you agree that this is the area where we need help in our life of faith?
Yes.
Prayer. See, the Lord knew that. And so He teaches a parable to His disciples to encourage them to live by faith, to rely on Him, to pray. But the choice is ours. Either we pray or we will faint. If we're fainting, we need to pray. If we're praying, Christ will keep us from fainting in the Christian life. Now, to encourage us to pray, the Lord sets forth a parable to teach us some things about Himself. You see, God needs to encourage us and remind us of who we have in a friend called Jesus Christ. Amen? It's because so often you and I forget. So the first contrast we see is the contrast of praying and fainting. And the next contrast we see is the example of the widow and the elect. Now, God tells us a story here, and it's a made-up story to teach us a spiritual truth. He tells us a story about a poor widow woman. The Bible says, there was in the city, verse 2, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was in a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now, to understand what's taking place in this parable, we need to go back in our minds to biblical days. If you've ever driven past Cairns Courthouse, maybe you're thinking about a judge in a courthouse, and that's what was taking place. But in Bible times, they didn't have big buildings like the Cairns Courthouse. They had tents. In fact, they had judges that moved around different districts in a tent, and that judge was there to examine cases and to make a verdict. They had a number of assistants around that tent, and only those ones who were allowed in, those cases that were deemed worthy of being judged, would be ones that would be considered. And you see, the problem was, most often, you had to bribe those assistants to get a hearing with the judge. Many times those judges were, as the Lord says, unjust. Not God-fearing. Not honouring to God. And this judge was a judge that feared not God, nor regarded man. In fact, probably he was in that position just for his own selfish pride and interests. And the widow had a big problem, you see. First of all, she was a widow. Remember, in Bible days, biblical times, widows faced a very difficult situation in life. You see, the male in the home was the main breadwinner. So when her husband died, this widow was left without means. It means she was poor. It also means she didn't have a husband to speak on her behalf. So when that widow came to the judge, my friends, understand, she had no hope of a hearing. She had no hope that her case would be heard. And what was her case? Well, she said to the judge, "Avenge me of mine adversary." Obviously, wouldn't you agree, this lady had been hurt by someone. Someone had mistreated her. Someone had taken advantage of the fact that she was a helpless widow woman. Maybe she had children that were hungry. Maybe she had been swindled. Maybe she had been defrauded. We don't know. But she was in a desperate situation. And it was a hopeless situation. She was poor. She had no money. So how could she possibly gain a hearing, especially from an unjust judge? So tell me, what does the Bible say she did? The only thing she had left to do? To beg. To beg. Day after day she came to the tent. Day after day she just did all she could do to beg from the judge for a hearing. To beg and to beg and to beg. And one day the judge got sick of her begging. And he said, "Look, this woman's complaining and begging is wearing me. I can't do my job here in this place of service. I'm just going to hear her out and deal with her case." She was begging. She was desperate. Now, understand, we'll look at verse 7 in a moment. Understand, we need to hear what the unjust judge saith, verse 6. You see, the unjust judge doesn't represent God. Would you agree? No. This is a parable of contrast. The unjust judge doesn't represent God. Likewise, the widow woman does not represent the Christian. What is God saying? Verse 7. "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" You see, God wants to encourage us to pray. He wants to encourage us to live by faith. How does he use teach us and help to encourage us in that area? Well, he uses a story. A story about a widow woman who has no hope, who has no relationship with the judge, who has no opportunity for her case to be heard. And Christ is saying this morning, if a widow woman was able to gain a hearing from a godless, wicked, unjust judge, then how much more will the elect, the child of God, gain a hearing with their heavenly Father and be able to know with confidence that our prayers are heard and our prayers will be answered? You see, it's a parable of contrast. It's a parable to get you and I excited about prayer. Because you see, wouldn't you agree, the widow was a stranger to the judge. Is that right or not? She was a stranger. He cared nothing for her. But yet, ultimately, because of her importunity, her continual begging, the judge heard her out. And if this unjust, wicked judge would hear out a stranger, how much more will God hear out his very own precious children? Notice there in your Bibles, verse 7. Can you see the word elect? Friends, that's not a word we need to be afraid of. The word elect means those who are chosen in Jesus Christ. Friends, salvation is for all. We understand that. Salvation is for all. But those who are saved are the elect. And God's election is based upon his foreknowledge. What does that mean? God knows everyone who will be saved. He knows the beginning from the end. Supernaturally, he knows every single person that will be saved. Does that mean that there are some people that are elected to be saved and some people that are elected to damnation who could never be saved? No. God's election is based upon his foreknowledge. But on our side, it's a whosoever will may come. On God's side, he draws the sinner to himself, but on our side, it's a whosoever will may come. And we need to respond to the gospel. And when we accept Jesus Christ by faith as our Savior, what happens? Supernaturally and immediately, we become a blood-bought child of God.
We are born again by the Spirit of God from above into the family of God. Now, before we go on, let me ask a question. Has there been a time in your life that you became a child of the King? Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, look, I just don't know. I pray to Jesus, but I don't know if my soul belongs to Him. I don't know if I've experienced that full salvation once and for all. You see, the Bible tells us, unless we are a child of the King, our father is the devil, and the lust thereof we will do. And we are separated from God by our sins, and therefore we deserve the same condemnation as the devil, an eternity in the lake of fire. You see, that's our due judgment for sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God for John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's you and I, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, to believe in Jesus Christ is not just to pray to Him every day, to take you to heaven. No, to believe is to understand what Christ did. My friends, on that cross, He paid for your sins and mine in full, once and for all. And Christ doesn't expect us to live a religious life in order to get to heaven. No, Christ invites us to accept Him as our Savior once and for all. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be forever saved, kept saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. My friends, that's a complete eternal conversion. The question is, are you sure you're in His kingdom? Or are you still walking in darkness? Friends, if you're not sure this morning, let me encourage you to speak to someone. Let me encourage you to come and find me after the service. I'd love to show you from the Word of God that you can be completely sure that your sins are forgiven, and that Christ is your Savior. And know for a surety that you are a child of the King. But you see, Christ, for us, for those of you who are Christians this morning, Christ wants to encourage us to pray. And He uses the example of an unjust judge. And He says to us as Christians, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now, in your relationship with me, God is saying, you have something much greater and much better than you can possibly imagine. Friends, when you and I become a born-again Christian, we become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We enjoy the benefits of everything that Christ has done and who Christ is. We are no longer robed in the garments of sin and wickedness and immorality. Friends, we are robed in the garments of righteousness, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer does God see us as sinners condemned to hell, but He sees us as sons of God. He sees us as children of the King. Is that correct? Am I saying the truth this morning? Is that correct? And why don't we live as children of the King? Let me tell you why. Because of our lack of faith. Because so often, who do we see God as? Who do we see Him as? Sometimes we see Him as this unjust judge, do we not? We look to the Lord and we think to ourselves, well, I don't understand really who God is, and maybe I'm not growing in my faith, so my view of God is distorted and perverted, and I'm not going to pray because, to be honest, I really don't know if God's going to hear my prayers. The situation is hopeless, so I've stopped praying, Pastor. What's the point? He hasn't answered my prayers. Have you ever gotten to that place before? Maybe someone you were once praying for, but you've given up. Maybe something you were once praying for, but now you've lost hope. You see, God wants to renew our hope in who He is this morning. You see, He is the just judge. He is the God that doeth right. And brethren, He is not our judge. Amen? When we are saved, our sins are judged at the cross. But so often we come to the Lord as our judge. My friends, He is not our judge. By the Spirit of God, you and I cry out, what? Who? Abba Father. He is God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, our Father. My friends, we do not have a friend in the courthouse. We have a Father in the courthouse of heaven, who loves His children intimately, who has proven His love to us,
And yet so often we push God away and we stay away from the closet of prayer because we make God out to be someone who He is not, an unjust judge, an unloving judge, someone that's just judging us, that doesn't love us, that cannot forgive my sin, that cannot help me in this area of life, that cannot deliver me from this temptation. That's how we treat God as. But God is saying, no, that's not me at all. Verse 7 in chapter 18 says, and shall not God, God is not the unjust judge, shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? See, the widow had no hope of a hearing. But as children of God, would you agree with me that we have not just a hope, but a confidence that when we pray according to His will, He heareth us and He will answer that prayer? We have confidence. You see, on the day of the cross, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, my friends, with His last breath, He cried out, "It is finished, paid in full." And what took place in the temple? You know the story. The Bible tells us that there was a giant veil that was too great to be torn, but miraculously and instantly that veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and suddenly the door was open for a born-again child of God to go through the veil that is Jesus Christ and enter into the very Holy of Holies, into the presence of God the Father, and bring before Him their prayers, their petitions. You see, the widow was despised by the unjust judge, is that right? She had no invitation. In fact, the unjust judge said, "Get rid of her." And they couldn't get rid of her. But even she gained a hearing with an unjust judge. But for us as God's children, we have a heavenly Father seated upon the throne. Talk to me this morning. Amen. We are sons of God. We have been adopted by adoption through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have been grafted in. We are in Christ. We don't just know God. He is our Heavenly Father. That's relationship. That's love. And the widow was rejected. She wasn't invited. The unjust judge was trying to get rid of her. But as God's children, we are invited to come.
Amen.
Sometimes we live as if we need an invitation to pray. Guess what? God has invited us to come. He has invited us to come. Not based upon our merits, not based upon the worthiness of our need, but based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. The widow, she just pleaded her need. But brethren, we plead the blood of Christ. Amen. We understand we can come to God in prayer. We can speak to Him. We can know He hears our prayers because of the blood of Christ. Elect. Chosen in Jesus Christ. That's who we are. So why aren't we praying? Turn with me to Revelation chapter number 8. Does God really hear my prayers? Is God really as loving and as desirous to hear my prayers as I would like Him to be? That sounds too good to be true. Revelation chapter number 8. Thank you for turning there with me. Here in Revelation chapter 8, we see an angel in verse 3 who came out and stood at the altar, Revelation 8:3, having a golden censer. It was a censer that was filled with incense, and that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. You see, the Bible teaches us that in heaven, before the very throne and altar of God, there the angel offers up this sacrifice of our prayers. The Bible says the prayers of all the saints were offered up to God. The psalmist said in Psalm 141, "Let my prayer be set before thee as incense." You see, God delights in our prayers. Not only does He hear our prayers, but He delights in them. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse 8, "The prayer of the upright is His delight." Delight. You see, our prayers waft up to God like sweet incense that He delights in. For why? Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Our faith pleases God. Our prayers delight the heart of God. Friends, God not just wants to hear from us, our prayers delight the heart of God. But we forget who God is. We treat Him as an unjust, unfeeling, cold, selfish, we think of Him as the devil, if you will, sometimes. That's how we treat God. And yet He is much greater, much closer, and much more willing to hear our prayers than you and I are willing to pray. Isn't that right? The widow and the elect, there's a big difference. She had no hope. We have absolute confidence, friends, in God. We have absolute assurance in Jesus Christ. But we need to claim by faith the promises of God, do we not? That's the only way that you and I will live a life of prayer. We need to look to the Lord by faith. And when we come to the prayer closet, when we kneel, when we gather together on Wednesday night, brethren, we need to understand that we are not only coming to God expecting that He might open the door, but the door is already open. We come boldly before the throne of grace. And we don't need to wonder whether we can find God's grace and mercy to help in a time of need. He's already promised us. The widow had no promises. Is that correct? See, it's a parable of contrast. The widow had no promises to claim. She was just desperate. She was hopeless. She was uninvited. You and I are absolutely the opposite. We have great hope. We have great expectation. We have been invited to come, and we know that we will have the petitions that we have given to God if we pray in faith, believing according to His will. Brethren, do we not need this encouragement to be people of prayer? I know that I do. If we were to put our lives up on the screen, as Brother Huey often says to me, what a frightening thing that would be. Imagine if this projector screen could project your prayer life and mine right now. Amen? Maybe you'd look for another pastor, to be honest. God knows where we're at. We all need help in our prayer life. The disciples needed help. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Maybe you're fainting as a Christian right now. Why? Not because I say it back in Luke chapter 18, but because the Lord said, if we don't pray, we will fall. Discouragement, depression, down, down, down. We need to live by faith to pray. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace. And by the way, don't come to the Lord in prayer like the widow came. The widow said, well, I'm just going to give it a try and see what happens. Sometimes that's how we pray. That's not a prayer of faith. Amen? Faith is believing in the promises of God. Faith is knowing that God is listening. Amen? Faith is knowing that God delights in our prayers. Faith is knowing that God will answer in His timing according to His will. And we can be a people of faith if we believe in His promises. Don't come to the Lord like the widow who says, well, I'll just give it a go. Let's see what happens. That's unbelief. Amen? That's unbelief. Or maybe I won't even pray. Maybe I'll stop praying altogether. We just need to pray. God is attentive to our prayers. The problem is we're not praying. We're not relying on the Lord for our every need. We're not praying always. Look, if we understood the fact and lived this fact out by faith that God's throne is open to us 24 hours a day, I tell you what, when you and I wake up in the middle of the night suddenly, we'll get excited, amen? Well, I'm awake, I can pray, amen? Do you remember days like that when you were first saved? When you woke up in the middle of the night and you realized you were saved, that you were a Christian and God was right there, He had not gone anywhere, and you can just take some time to pray.
Amen.
Until you fall asleep again. Remember those days? Some of us have left those days off. Some of us are living by sight and by strength and we are fainting. It's time to live by faith again. Amen? It's time to pray. It's time to get with God and to claim His promises. Well, we've seen the widow and the elect. What a difference.
Notice lastly, the unjust judge and God. Look with me in verse number 8. Notice what the Bible says. I tell you, that's God, that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth. You see, God is not the unjust judge. The Bible says that He will avenge them speedily. We don't need to bribe God to answer our prayers, amen? We don't need to twist His arm and convince Him with our eloquent words. No, God just desires a heart of faith. Simple words from our heart. Trust and honesty, amen, in God. Absolutely. We don't need to bribe God. We don't need to twist His arms. And we don't need to wonder whether God will answer that prayer. Notice verse number 8. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. You might be thinking about this verse for a moment and saying, well, to be honest, I prayed some things to God, believing. And the next day it didn't happen. And the next day I didn't see the answer to that prayer. You see, how can this be true, brethren, that God will avenge us speedily, God will answer that request speedily when we don't see it happen? Yeah. Well, you see, it all depends on how we define an answer to prayer. Amen? How do you and I define an answer to prayer? Well, you and I define an answer to prayer as when we see it happen, I believe it. And until then, God's asleep. Is that correct? Or am I the only one? God must be asleep because He hasn't answered that prayer. It hasn't happened, therefore, I'm not going to pray. In fact, I'm so discouraged, I've stopped praying. But hang on a second. The just shall live by faith. If we understand the promises of God this morning, we understand not only does God hear our prayers and we're invited to come and He delights in our prayers and we'll answer them, but He also will work speedily. You see, just because we don't see an end to that request doesn't mean that God isn't at work. Is that a true statement? Yes or no? Just because we don't see an end to that request does not mean that God is not working. My friend, God is always working. God is working when you and I sleep. God is working when you and I are not praying. God is working in the background in ways that you and I can't possibly imagine, working for eternity. Just because we don't see the end of that request yet doesn't mean God is asleep. You see, delays in our eyes need to be looked at by faith. Delays are simply God at work, unseen. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Because you see, if we live by sight, which one of us are ever going to pray? Is that correct? And God says, no, that's not how life works. I'm a supernatural God. Amen? You cannot see me. So why do you expect to see the evidence of answers to prayer yet? Just believe I'm working. Amen? Just believe I'm working in hearts. Just believe I'm working to provide. Just believe that I'm working to provide for that need. Just believe that I'm working in you. Don't be discouraged that that answer has not come yet. When God, by faith we know, is at work. That's what the Bible says, does it not? I tell you, I will avenge them speedily. You see, God is at work. God is at work moving mountains, amen? Mountain-moving faith, doing the impossible. But you and I, we have a problem. Until we see that mountain move, that's where our faith stops. That's where our prayers often stop. Is that correct? Absolutely. But we need to believe in God. He is listening. He is working. He has promised us that we are not a desperate, hopeless widow that comes to an unjust judge, but we are the elect, chosen in Christ of God, and God is at work, and He will hear and do as He pleases. The problem is not God's lack of answering, it's God's children's lack of praying. Not God's lack of answering, but our lack of praying. So what do we do? The just shall live by faith. Verse number 8. Let's close with the last part of this verse. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find, say it? Faith on the earth.
See, though this parable is about prayer, it's about faith, ultimately. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's the challenge to us this morning. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find any of his children living by faith? Will he find anyone that has a serious prayer life? Will he find any independent Baptist churches with a midweek prayer meeting? Let me say that. You know, many churches, even of like faith, are dropping the prayer meeting. And by the way, I don't blame the pastor. It's the people that don't want it anymore because they don't come. They're not living by faith. They don't want to pray. Brethren, what is the gauge of the spiritual faith temperature of the church? Can I be honest with you this morning? It's not Sunday morning. Can I be honest? It's not Sunday morning. Talk to me this morning. The spiritual temperature of any church is not the attendance on Sunday morning. And it's not Sunday night either. It's the prayer meeting. It's the prayer meeting. You see, if we are serious about God and serious about faith, we're going to come to Wednesday night. Why? Because it's the time that we pray. It's the time that we take hold of the promises of God and we see ourselves as the elect children of God and we are excited to come before the throne of God together and claim God's promises by faith. That's the spiritual measure of a church. Wednesday night, it's always been that way. Brethren, we're not going to drop the Wednesday night prayer meeting. Amen? Amen? No matter how many few turn up. But let me encourage you, church family, why aren't you here? Where are you? Have you stopped praying? Have you stopped praying to God? You might say, Pastor, I don't know what to say. Well, brethren, we don't have to twist God's arm to hear our prayer. Amen? We are not the widow. He's not the unjust judge. We are elected. We have a hearing before God 24 hours a day. Our words are not important. It's our heart. Imagine if you were only saved if you prayed special words to God. Imagine if there was a set formula and if you missed it, you're without salvation. Brethren, how are you and I saved? How did Christ author our faith? We realized the truth according to His Word. We repented of our sins and we cried out, yes, prayed to God to save us once and for all. In our own words, from our own heart, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. How do we pray now? The same way we were saved. Not for salvation, but for everything else in our life. Lord, help me in this area. Lord, save that person. Lord, they need your mercies. Amen. Prayer is not complicated. But some of us here are not coming to Wednesday night because you're afraid of what people will think of your words. And brethren, that is unbelief. That is pride. If you've received Christ as your Saviour, you know how to pray. Because you've called out to Him. So just call out to Him again for some of these needs on our list, amen? Call out to Him for some of these needs that people that need to be saved. And by the way, you're not here, but we're praying for you. So why don't you come? Amen? That'll be an answer to prayer. Prayer meeting, our prayer life. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. If a church is not praying, they are what? Fainting, failing. Doesn't matter how many people, no matter how much people you get in a crowd, I guarantee you, get a prayer meeting going in some of these charismatic churches and it will just be the pastor and his family that turn up. Why? Because most of the people just come for the music, the emotional experience. And they're not grounded by faith in Christ. They're grounded in emotional euphoria and experience in Christ. So that's all they live for. I hope you realize that's not what we're about here at Coastline Baptist Church. Amen? You want a rock concert? Go to a rock concert. You don't worship God that way. Amen? Jesus Christ is not a rock star. He's much greater than that. He's much more honorable than that. He's much more loving than that. He is our Savior, Redeemer, and Friend. So let's pray. As I close, the challenge in verse 8 is an open-ended question. I'm glad about that. Will he find faith on the earth? Amen? Coastline Baptist Church, will he find faith in our lives and in our church if Christ came today? He's not here yet. It's an open-ended question. Let's live by faith. Amen. Let's say yes to the Lord. Let's pray. Let's be people that live for the Lord. Maybe this morning God has convicted your heart and He would just have you to come and confess and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for no longer praying. I started the race off well. I was saved, but then I've stopped praying. Maybe the Lord would have you to say, Lord, help me to get excited about prayer. Help me to get excited about you. Lord, help me to partake in what you say are the riches of His grace in His kindness by Christ Jesus. My friends, we are rich in riches untold. Joys that God wants to fill our heart with. Satisfaction and comfort and peace that passeth all understanding. But we must live by faith. Maybe God has rebuked you about your lack of dependence on Him as He has me. Let's spend some time with God in the next few minutes. Let's come clean before the Lord. Let's be a people that go back to prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. To this end, He's taught us this parable this morning. To this end.